Hey everyone, welcome back to Deeper Than Dough. Today I'm joined by Larry Sprung, founder of Milton Financial and host of the Milton Money Mindset podcast. In this episode, Larry opens up about losing his brother-in-law to suicide and how that painful experience inspired him to become a powerful advocate for mental health, raising nearly $2 million in his honor. We also talk about redefining success, balancing business with family, and why sharing your personal life on social media can be an absolute game changer. This episode's packed with powerful insights, so please like and subscribe, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Today, I'm super excited to have Larry Sprung on the show. Larry, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben. A pleasure to be here.
Thanks. Larry and I connected a few months back when I was on his podcast, but Larry, I'll let you give a brief intro on who you are, what you're doing, and also tell us about your podcast, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Bennett. So first and foremost, I'm Larry Sprung. I'm a dad to Zach and Jeremy, husband to Denise for 25 years this November. And I happen to be in wealth management. I'm the founder of Mitlin Financial. And akin to that, I'm the host of the Mitlin Money Mindset, where we, through inspiring stories, we help people find more joy, success, and give them actionable insights so that they could create a life that's truly joyful for them as well.
I love that. This is what I want to point out, though, before we jump into that half. Most people do go into like the, you know, tell us about your background. And it's a lot, most people lead with profession or where they are born. You led with husband and father, right? I guess why? And when do you feel like that changed for you? That maybe 20 years ago, if somebody said, who are you? You weren't identifying yourself as that first, but now you are.
Yeah, I mean, they're a reason why I do everything I do, right? So they are my why, my kids and my wife. So I would say that that's probably changed in terms of how I introduce myself and how I identify myself probably over the last 10 years, not because I didn't always feel that way, because I have. My kids are 18 and 21. It was just that I didn't realize that there was a difference. And, through educating myself and hearing other people, I was like, you know, why do I identify myself with my career first and foremost? That's not really who I am. It's just, I am a father, a husband, a human being that just happens to do something for a living. So I kind of rearranged the order that I utilize that.
I like that. How long ago did you get into the financial services industry?
Oh, I've been in here, Ben, right out of college. 1996 is when I entered the profession, and I've been here ever since.
Okay, awesome. How has your definition, well, one, can you share your definition of success? Like if we fast forward a year, 5 years, like what would be success to you? And then a follow-up question, has that changed over the last 25 years?
It's funny that you said, has it changed over the last 25 years? Because before you said that, I was going to say, well, it's kind of been a moving target along the way, right? My level of success, or what my definition today of success, is not nearly what it was 25 plus years ago. I look back at some of the goals that I had laid out 25 years ago, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that was even a goal, because we've kind of blown those away. So those mile markers, and I think as we, you know, grow, get better, and learn, those mile markers have to move. Right now, my level of success is really determined upon really a couple things. One is raising good human beings, meaning my kids, two gentlemen who could, be self-sustaining and live on their own and are just good people, being a really great husband as best as I can. And just so your listeners know, my wife is in my business. So we're not only, partners in terms of marriage, but we also work together. So we spend a lot of time together. And then I think, thirdly is being a good steward for the families that we serve, as well as the stakeholders of our company, and making sure that, we're being a good steward for the money and the trust and guidance that the families have put in us, and that we're doing the right thing by our stakeholders each and every day to better serve themselves as well as the families we serve.
Let me dive into that a little bit more. What are the kind of the, man, what's the terminology I'm looking for? The easy pickings, you know, like when you're meeting with a family for the first time that's never met with a financial advisor, what are those like first things that you're doing that have the highest impact on somebody's financial planning or financial future?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we focus on very heavily at the beginning is what is their why and, you know, where do they derive joy? And I think a lot of advisors and wealth managers, you know, they focus on the numbers, you know, how much am I going to need to retire? How much am I going to need to send my kids to school? And, you know, I think that's a fail because at the end of the day, we're not just accumulating money to accumulate money for the purpose of, you know, having extra zeros on our bank account. It's really to provide some kind of joy in our lives. And I will tell you this, we met with a family and this happened today. We met with a family who the husband is looking to retire after 28 years in the New York Police Department. The wife is looking to retire in another 4 years as a school teacher. And they went to meet another firm that predominantly works with police officers. So they have an in there. And they went met with them and then they met with us. And we weren't sure how it was going to go. They were referred to us. But the wife looked at us and said, you know, at the end of us talking about joy and talking about what was important to us and not really focusing on the money, we feel like we are, you know, we're being recognized, we're part of your family. Whereas the other firm we went to, it was all business and it was all numbers. And we just felt like we'd be another person that was, you know, on their client roster, for lack of a better word. So I think that that's really the high value area for us, is really getting to know the families we work with, understanding what their, you know, challenges are, what their goals are, and where they derive joy, and then really working with them to build out a game plan to help bring, you know, as much of that to fruition as we possibly can.
Freaking love that. That, if you listen to me on every other podcast that I'm on, that's what I'm talking about. is okay. Well, what I mean in regards to goal setting, you know, everybody has these financial goals, but it's like, but then what? Once you have the money, what do you want to feel? What's the emotional state? Because that's what we're after. And we think that money is going to get us there, and it could, but but at the end of the day, like, it's not the right goal. Because if you ask anybody with money, it's like, no, it doesn't do anything. It can help you do something else. But if you're expecting to get money to buy the new car, to then feel better in front of your neighbors, like, yeah, that'll last a week. Good luck. You know?
Yeah.
So like, what are the higher impact joy items? And I love that aside from the financial planning, because most people don't think about that. I mean, maybe once every 10 years, they're like, what do I actually like doing? Where am I actually going? So I love that you take time to really focus on the lifestyle they're trying to achieve. And I think that's definitely the way to go into how to connect with people and better serve them. Talking about working with a spouse, I've worked with my dad on a business. I own a few properties with one brother, another property with another one. I did a solar company with my brother, with one brother. I got a lot of brothers. I'm Mormon, 9 kids, you know. I haven't worked with my wife, though. She doesn't like business or anything. But what are the pros and the cons and the roadblocks? And yeah, just give me the insight to that.
So I will say this, early on, it was excellent, right? And not that it's bad now, but just to give you some backstory, both my boys played travel ice hockey. So there were many times when my boys were younger that come Thursday during the week, my wife was off in one state with one son and I was off in another state with my other son. So in some regards, the time that we spent in the office together was really some of the only time that we got to see each other during the week, because then comes Thursday, we were off and about and we didn't return back to home on Sunday. So I would like to say that I think that kept things really good because we were able to stay connected. Now that the boys are out of the house, we spend a lot of time together because we're not only at home together, on the road together, and in the office together, which is still great. We really enjoy each other's company. We riff off each other. But some of the challenges, you know, as you asked for, are, you know, we're different people in terms of I'm a morning person. She's a night person. So there are many times where we're at home. I've been at the office since 7 o'clock in the morning and I get home and I'm ready to, you know, just unwind and decompress. And she's raring to go because she started later and she's going later. And she'll be like, oh, I got this great idea, because she's our director of marketing. And right. I'll look at her and I'm like, listen, I'm burnt. Send me an email and we'll talk about it tomorrow. You know, which is good and bad, because I, you know, it's tough to talk about in the moment, but you just kind of got to learn about when those good times are. But overall, I think it's a, it's an extreme positive situation, because we get to spend a lot of time. She gets a lot of input into what's going on, and she's really a vital component to, you know, serving the families in the way we do. Without her, I don't think we would be able to do that.
That's awesome. Yeah. When I heard that, I'm just like, that's cool. You're like hanging out with your wife all day. Again, I tried. My wife's like, no, I don't like any of the business stuff. But she does a great job at what she does, which is raising three hellish kids. I'm just joking. My kids are great. But that's fun. Okay.
It's a hell of a job, though.
It's a hell of a job for sure. In the financial industry or in your personal life, I want to dive in, if you're comfortable sharing, one of something that was very difficult. And what I'm getting at after that is, can you share how you got through that? And speaking to somebody that could be in that same stage today, like, what are those practical advice? Because it's always easy to look back and like, yeah, that was a hard time. I learned a lot. But what do you say to people in it right now on what to do, on how it, you know, applies to you and your experiences?
Yeah. So I'll give you two, because I'll give you one personal and one professional. And, you know, the personal one, I know you are very inclined in regards to mental health and being vocal about that. And, you know, I lost my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, to suicide in 2004. He suffered from bipolar disorder. And, you know, when something like that happens in a family, there's a couple of ways that you can go, right? You can go down the rabbit hole and, you know, think about all the things that maybe you should have, could have, would have done, which for us, we really did everything we could. Or you could do what we decided to do, which was really utilize his name and his voice and not let it die, so to speak, and create a platform for good. And we've raised a lot of awareness. We've raised a lot of money, almost $2 million in his name through the Keith Milano Memorial Fund. And more importantly than that, we've saved lives. There have been instances where I've now and my wife's become de facto resources in the community, that if they have somebody in the family struggling, they'll reach out to us and we'll help them navigate that situation. So I think there's some great learning experiences there. And I think, you know, mental health 2004 was not mental health 2025. It wasn't being talked about as much. And, you know, with people like you, you know, talking about the topic and being open about it, it's only been, you know, super helpful. So I think that's an area that we all have to be mindful of on the personal side and how I got through it. On the professional side, one area where, again, my wife was super vital was, I was very hesitant about being authentic and putting everything out there on social media and, you know, out there, so to speak. And it, she really pushed me when we took a family trip to South Africa. And she's like, you know, people want to see this stuff. Let's put it out there. I was like, all right, let's give it a try and see what happens. And it wasn't until I returned from that trip after posting every day, when I had a family that we served, the wife reached out to me via email. She suffered from COPD and couldn't really leave the house because she was on oxygen. And she said, thank you so much for posting, you know, your adventures in South Africa. She's like, because I always wanted to go there. I will never make it there. But through you and your family, I feel like I went on that adventure with you, and that's, I was cool, able to travel to South Africa. And it was in that moment, Bennett, that I was like, yep, you got it. You got something here. And ever since then, we've been very authentic, sharing, you know, a great deal of our lives. And it's only led to, you know, more people wanting, you know, I guess more and the right people, more of the right people who want to work with us, because they, you know, they tend to be family people who, you know, align with similar values that I have, and they want to be a part of what we're doing here at Midland.
Thank you for sharing both of those experiences. Hey, dang it. Like, I was just talking about axing a part of my social media strategy to not take out the personal stuff. But I'm like, everything that you said, I've experienced that, because once or twice a week, I'll post videos with my kids. you know, I'm just uploading to somebody, they're making a little reel out of it. And I'm like, oh, is that making a difference or this and that? But when you said it attracts the right type of people, I'm like, okay, no, that is me. That is my brand. I'm definitely a family guy. I need to continue to reflect that on social media to attract the right type of people. You just gave me work that I thought I freaking got rid of.
Sorry. Maybe cut down on the business stuff and you'll end up in the same place.
That's what I'm going to have to do. Larry, can you tell us about a little bit more about your podcast, how long you've been running it for and why you started it?
Yeah. So we are about 4.5 years in. We are, 250 episodes in. We release a new episode weekly. And really what I wanted to do was share really interesting guests, their stories with our listeners, and really just create a more joyful environment. And I really truly enjoy each and every story that I hear, the entrepreneurial journey. And I know, from the feedback that our listeners do. So really the goal is to help you, the listener, find more joy and success and purpose through really inspiring stories and getting actionable insights from these fascinating guests so that they can then go out and create a life that's truly joy-filled, just like us. And there's so many great tidbits, like having you on and your story, very inspirational, and sharing like your upbringing, your family, and how you're managing the business. You know, that's stuff that most people do not have access to. And that's the stuff that really resonates with our listeners and really helps them be better entrepreneurs, better people, and just bring more joy to their life.
I agree. When you can hear that somebody else did it, you're like, okay, maybe I can do it. Especially if this is just an average person. Even if it's not an average person though, what made me through, kept me going and push more and more on the business, like let's keep going, was when I studied other businesses and like looking at Nike's story almost going bankrupt and FedEx and UPS and Walmart and every other freaking company, I'm like, oh, they weren't big for the first 10 years. You know what I mean? Like you just have to keep going. They almost went bankrupt as well. So I'm a big fan of that as well. Like other people sharing their experiences, at least from my experience, gives me confidence. Talk to me about the joy and or fulfillment on what you get from the podcast versus working on the financial services. Which one do you feel like you like more?
I love them both, and they're really intertwined, and I'll tell you why. Because, having the podcast has really created this curated library that I now have that I can now use for the families we serve. And I'll give you a perfect example. We had a family yesterday that called up, or I was on the phone with them, and their son is struggling. He's about to graduate college and he's struggling finding a job. And, I was asking him about LinkedIn and his LinkedIn presence, and his son really wasn't sure about what or how to do that. So we had a young lady on who's built a tremendous following on LinkedIn, Morgan, and I'm failing on her last name at the moment, but we had her podcast and she kind of outlined exactly how to go about kind of creating this network, which I'm a big proponent, network equals net worth, creating this big network on LinkedIn. And I literally emailed him the episode this morning and shared it with him. So it gives us opportunities like that, whether it's financially related or otherwise. So there's a tremendous amount of joy from both of them. I think it's different, but they also both serve each other very well too.
I like that. And I do think that's the best way to set it, like having those things intertwined, serving the same goal. So yeah, they're two different verticals, but you're achieving, I guess, the same mission. And I guess why I'm using the word mission, do you do mission statements, core values, and what's your opinion on those as a business owner?
Yeah, so I mean, we have core values. We have a team meeting every Tuesday, where as a group, when we created this as a team about 4 years ago, these core values, I said, listen, I don't want to just create core values to say we have core values, and then they get slapped on a wall or put on a mouse pad or something like that. I want us to live by these things. So what we've done is every week at our level 10 meeting, which is an EOS term, we have somebody recite and review the core values. They say them from heart. We don't read off anything. And then at least one person gives a story from the last week that represents one of those core values. So whether it's, you know, we have a core value called client equals family equals team. So we had a family that the wife's husband has been very ill. So she was going to be lonely on Valentine's Day. So we sent her a Valentine's Day gift just to kind of cheer her up. So that was like a core value that we talked about this week. Or it could be responsiveness and proactive communication. Somebody has an issue and one of our stakeholders, you know, dropped everything to take care of it. So we do have these core values. We live by them. And more importantly, we recite them and, you know, record things that happen during the week that represent those core values as well.
That, and I'm sure the core values are applicable to both financial services as well as, you know, what you're doing and running the podcast. You mentioned EOS, which I haven't really done it, but I've looked into it and I'm like trying to start doing it. But would you recommend EOS? I mean, can you give what is EOS? How long have you been doing it? Do you recommend it? Because I'm trying to implement it. I mean, I was having calls this morning on like getting stoked and like, yeah, we need this.
Yeah, I would say do it. It's a little bit herky jerky at first, but if you stick with it, it will plow
through. What's herky jerky?
It takes a little while to get used to it and get it implemented. If it's something you feel like you can do yourself based upon the size of your organization, then you can self-implement. If it's something that you really want to go and hit the ground running, I would highly recommend getting an implementer, somebody who can help you implement that throughout your organization. But I will tell you, I think it's a game changer in terms of, you know, having five key metrics or six key metrics, however many you choose, in terms of tracking the business and its financial health. Everybody having goals and being on the same page, it's pretty eye-opening. And if you haven't read Traction yet, the book that kind of goes along with it, I would highly recommend reading that because I think it'll give you a lot of insight into how it could potentially benefit you and what it's all about.
How long have you been running with that management style?
About 3-4 years now. And we meet, you know, we have our level 10 meeting, which is every Tuesday at 10 a.m. You know, unless you're not feeling well or happen to be on vacation, you're there. Everybody is there and we have our meeting, go over our goals for the year, our rocks for the quarter, and we all leave that meeting on the same page. It's, you know, one of the things about meetings is people tend to hate meetings, but these meetings are very structured and they don't go off tangent. So they're usually
it's like every five minutes, it's telling you what you're doing and when the story and yeah. Anyways, that's really cool. I appreciate you sharing that because that organization, at least for people with my brain, you know, the kind of more in the visionary, but no integration. It's like, I will start 30 ideas every day and I'll finish zero of them. Where
EOS integrator
steps in and helps you organize that through their model and making sure you're paired with that, the integrator. And then it also gives you the same language to speak, you know, like you mentioned rocks, which are, what are my biggest difficulties, issues, problems. But now everybody's speaking the same language as well, which I like a lot. Okay. Business ownership is hard, at least sometimes. Maybe you'll agree with me, maybe not. What do you do regularly to be proactive with your mental health?
Oh, so that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, listen, anything worthwhile is difficult, right? You know, so you always have to pay attention to mental health. So some of the things that I do are typically, now I'm in like almost like a daily habit of meditating anywhere between 10 to 20 minutes a day in the first thing in the morning. I also try to exercise at least 5 times a week and do different types of exercise, whether it's riding on the Peloton or doing a strength or a core workout, just try to get the body moving in some way, shape, or form. And then taking time off and time away and just, you know, really taking, you know, use Dan Sullivan's term, free days, you know, days where you're not thinking about anything, thinking about the business. And that's when some of the best ideas come because your brain is not thinking about anything in particular. And then that's when those really great nuggets insights pop into your brain. So it's something that's, you know, something you have to stay top of mind and you have to make sure you're doing. You know, some days, you know, it may make sense to do the 20-minute meditation instead of the 10 because you may need it, or, you know, doing the heavy metal workout versus the yacht rock workout. But, you know, those are the things that are truly helpful to me.
So it comes down to like paying attention to what you need and how you're responding and reacting. One of the meditations that I frequently do follows the, yeah, you have to quiet the mind of just the compulsive diarrhea thinking, like, right? It's just like analyzing and comparing everything you see. Quiet that through the first X amount of time on meditation, and then you try to have stillness in the mind. And then once you've achieved that and you feel comfortable, then it's like, hey, what the ideas that now come to you are no longer these compulsive ideas. They're actual, you know, thoughts, more creative, generally speaking. I've only been doing it for a few months, but I've definitely, I believe in it. I'm like, 2025 is my year to do that every single morning and every single night. And it's been great so far. So I love that.
I would say stick with it, because there was a time I stopped and started like 3 or 4 times because I was like, I don't get this. I can't stop thinking. I can't stay focused. And then I finally had like 3 people tell me, they're like, no, you're doing it right, dope. You're not going to stop the thoughts. You just want to be mindful of when you should be kind of moving the next thought, you know, that thought along and moving to the next one. So it definitely takes, there's a reason why they call it a practice, right? Meditation is a practice because you have to always practice.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sitting still for even 10 minutes, you're just like, man, my brain wants to do everything else besides this. But noticing every time there's that thought or the urge to leave, but just noticing that, I'm like, oh, where is that? How am I even noticing? How do I know that I don't like this? And focusing on that and going a little bit deeper. At least for me, those have been effective strategies. Last question for you. So problems are perspective, right? One person's problem is another person doesn't see a problem. So do you have any life philosophies in order that help you achieve more joy and fulfillment in life?
Yeah, I mean, I have like a couple of things that come, you know, point of mind. I think, you know, for me, I look back at those things that are most important to me that I always utilize as a framework. You know, going back to kind of the first question of how I introduce myself with regard to being a dad and a husband, you know, those are the things I look to when things get, you know, kind of challenging. I say, okay, well, I'm going to get to see my boys this weekend and watch them play hockey, you know, to kind of refocus and get back in there. Or, you know, relook, hey, my wife is healthy, my boys are healthy, you know, this is something else, we can get through this challenge, right? So I try to use those things that are core values to me that are really, you know, truly important to me, and use those as mile markers to kind of compare and contrast to keep me focused really on, you know, what life is really about and really what is most important when all said and done.
I love that. And it really comes down to health and family. I just saw a post on that like yesterday. Like, if you wake up and you're healthy and the people around you are unhealthy, you've won. You're winning. You're like, you're living in the best time ever. As long as you could get your brain to focus on that and not focus on the millions of problems that aren't even real problems, that are just potentials in the future that are probably not going to ever happen. So anyways, yeah. Larry, I really appreciate it. How can our listeners get in contact with you, your financial services company, to learn more about there as well as the podcast?
Yeah. So, I mean, the easiest place is to, you know, all of my information is there too. If you go to the podcast webpage, it's MidlandMoneyMindset.com. That'll take you, all my information is directly connected there. My LinkedIn, where I answer direct messages. And if you're looking to add more joy to your life and you're interested in journaling, you could always download our free joy journal, which is at midland.us/joyjournal, and completely free. If you could download a PDF copy, or if you're more tactile and need a hard copy, you could always buy that as well and have it shipped out. But those are the best places to connect with me.
Hey, well, Larry, I appreciate your insights. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.